You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 7th, 2022. If you're looking for us in our live stream at Larry Connors, USA YouTube channel, we're not there because I got a notice from YouTube the other day. You have violated our restrictions and we're canceling your live stream. They've not pulled me entirely from YouTube. I'm opening it right now and see it. Maybe they're not aware of it. Maybe I shouldn't say anything. I will say the remarks I was making at the end of the last hour in reference to what Senator Graham had said in assassinating Putin, that might bring another strike against me. We'll see. I'll explain in more detail before we wrap up this hour. But again, I encourage you to in fact, right now, programs we have previously streamed live, they're still posted. They have not pulled them down, and actually our viewership on those posted entire programs has been going up dramatically. Folks can't watch it live as I speak, and we're doing the program, but they make it apparently part of their evening or sometime to sit down and watch it through. In the meantime, as you heard, Speaker Pelosi, and I mentioned the other day, she's willing to cut off all imports of Russian oil, but we still have Russian oil coming into the U.S., Secretary Blinken has asked over the weekend, why? He said, well, when it comes to oil, Russian oil, we're talking, there's an active discussion. You don't need any stupid discussion. Just say, shut it down. I don't care if it's destined for a U.S. business or the U.S. government. Shut it down. Then you have Congressional Progressive Caucus Chair Yayapal, who's argued, we need to move off fossil fuels so we'll be free of the ability of dictators to blackmail us over oil and gas. And she also says the increase you're seeing at the pump, those prices are going to keep going up anyway, regardless of this. They weren't. They weren't when we were energy independent. Oh, and now Biden is indicating he might be looking for a way to solve the oil shortage issue. He's thinking about talking to the Islamic nation of Saudi Arabia. And see, can you drill more oil and gas and sell it to us? You still won't use what we have in our backyard, what we've got on our ground and in our federal and grant land and oil leases here. That's just beyond stupid. Secretary of State Blinken's also saying that the U.S. is giving the green light to NATO countries if they want to provide fighter jets to Ukraine. Russia says any countries offering those airfields and our flights, planes to Ukraine will be considered part of his next attack. The U.S. says it's not going to send any planes directly. We're going to be joined later this hour by Colonel Jack Jackson, retired U.S. Marine Colonel, fighter jet, numerous missions, and get his evaluation of the MiG-29s Poland is thinking about sending to Ukraine to see how they would be able to hold up against the Russian jets. The Greece government is going to exploit all this political turmoil. Talk of, quote, attacking Turkey, particularly in the Aegean island between Athens and Ankara that reignited last week because Turkey violated Greek airspace. See, you start one place, the dominoes start moving, don't they? And, of course, despite what Senator Graham was saying the other day that he thinks somebody inside the Kremlin should assassinate Putin, and the White House saying how stupid that was and how unhinged. VP Harris, at the anniversary of Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama, going back to 1965 when Alabama state troopers brutally attacked civil rights activists, She called them basically, she compared those state troopers to all Republicans. She didn't mention that those troopers were under Democrat control at the time. Oh, and Californians have had their big meeting, their statewide convention. Very few discussed crime, homelessness, anything else. Most wanted to talk about voting rights and the war in Ukraine. They will not deal with what's in their face. They want to deal with something that would just have no value except for political points for them. For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief. And the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Winning a battle is not the same thing as winning a war. Taking the city is not the same thing as capturing the hearts and minds of Ukrainians. What they've demonstrated with extraordinary courage is that they will not be subjugated to Vladimir Putin's will to be under Russia's thumb. So whether that takes another week, another month, another year to play out, it will. And I know how this is going to end. But the question is, can we end it sooner rather than later with less suffering?
Those are the words of Secretary of State Blinken as he appeared on one of the network programs over the weekend. You have to admire what the Ukrainians are doing. They are fighting an invading army that is better equipped and supposedly trained against mostly civilians kind of being gathered together. And in fact, most Ukrainians had no kind of weapon, so the Ukrainian government was giving them out. That should reinforce for you the meaning and the value of a Second Amendment. And in many cases, they were given nothing better than a bolt-action rifle. A bolt-action rifle, not even a semi-automatic rifle to use against the Russians, and certainly not an automatic weapon. It reminds me of the movie, and perhaps you saw it, Enemy at the Gates. Enemy at the Gates was one of those movies that really makes you understand what happens in war. Came out 2001. It was set upon the principle that the battle for Stalingrad, in the winter of 42 and 43, the main character, a fictionalized version of a legitimate sniper hero who was called a hero during World War II. and he got into a duel with a Russian sniper. The young, with a German sniper, I should say. The young Russian had learned hunting with his grandfather. Now, he and others were being ordered by their commanders to charge the Germans. They had one rifle between every five Russians. And they're charging into Germans who are fully armed to the teeth. And when the shooting starts, if the Russians turn back to their Russian commanders and hopefully safety, the Russian commanders shoot and kill them. So they're either going to be caught and killed by advancing into the Nazi army, or they're going to be killed by their own forces as they try to get their way back. Ukraine is in a similar situation in the sense that they don't have what they need to fight the battle, so they're making the most they can. In one area, that convoy that's been stalled out, they opened floodgates, flooding the area off that main road, so those vehicles cannot get off the road anyway because they would bog down. And there have also been reports that morale among these conscripts, these Russian troops, they didn't want to be in war anyway. They didn't even want to be in the army. They got drafted in. And then they thought they were going to go to a war games maneuver and turn out to be the real thing. And back home in Russia, 8,000 to 12,000 Russians have been arrested, maybe never to be seen again, because they are protesting what Putin's doing. And what are we doing? Well, there's some things that might have some value, and Ukraine is not a NATO nation, which means we're not going to go directly in there, and nor should we. We cannot be the policeman for the world again. If it were a NATO nation, we would be obligated to do so. Still, Putin is watching us closely, and NATO, because he fears what's going to happen now is that by his actions, his regime will be overturned. Here's Secretary of State Blinken.
For us, it's not about regime change. That's the Russian people have to decide who they want to lead them. And look, as I said, the challenge is this. Vladimir Putin continues to press this aggression. That's why I say I'm afraid this could go on for some time. But it's going to end, and it's going to end with Ukraine prevailing. Because even as Putin has the capacity, because he can, the manpower, the equipment that he has, that he can bring to bear, can continue to grind down these incredibly brave and resilient Ukrainians, winning a battle is not the same thing as winning a war.
Well, that's obvious. You won the battle but lost the war. We've heard that before, haven't we? But Blinken wants you to know on every network program he appeared this weekend, we are working so hard to put in better and tougher sanctions and to shut Putin down. And I'm pulling the BS card. But let's let Blinken try to amaze you with his wonderful display of diplomacy in action.
Look, I've been in Europe for the last couple of days, working closely, as always, with our allies and partners at NATO, the European Union, the G7 countries, and all of us together are continuing to take steps to increase the pressure on Russia through additional sanctions, all of which are very actively under discussion and will be implemented in the coming days, as well as taking further steps to give the Ukrainians what they need to defend themselves against the Russian aggression.
Well, let's stop it right there. First of all, I've been in Europe for the last couple of days. I'm working closely. We're talking. We're looking at other things we can be doing. You know what you can be doing. You know specifically in front of you the things you're talking about. Don't talk about it. Do it. Do it. Or go back and sit in the corner of your room till we call you out again. And specifically, these sanctions that were supposedly going to cripple Russia and shut off their economy and not let money come in. We went after some of the banks. We went after some of the oligarchs, I would call them. And we went after other things like that. But at the same time, the U.S. is still, as I'm speaking, allowing Russian oil to enter our country. Most of it's going to, ironically, California, because they need oil out there, a lot of businesses, because oil and gas leases have been shut down, and all the green live pie in the sky people out there are so happy about that. They don't mind if the prices keep going up. They want you to suffer. I've told you that before. They want you to suffer every time you go to fill up the pump and be angry at Putin. Blame Putin, not Biden, for shutting down the oil and gas leases. And when it comes to oil, again, it's the diplomatic Secretary of State Blinken and more blah, 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 blah.
When it comes to oil, Russian oil, I was on the phone yesterday with the president and other members of the cabinet on exactly this subject. And we are now talking to our European partners and allies to look in a coordinated way at the prospect of banning the import of Russian oil while making sure that there is still an appropriate supply of oil on world markets. That's a very active discussion as we speak.
Yeah, and as I had mentioned in news and commentary, in case you missed it, Biden is looking for other sources of oil. Saudi Arabia, a Muslim nation. And on top of that, they're also talking, this is just another one of those that will make you slap the side of your head when somebody needs to be slapping his head. He's digging in, not going to do anything about domestic production, but the White House is apparently seeking oil deals with Venezuela, the socialist Venezuela, Russia's best friend. And oil prices, the price per barrel now, $130 per barrel. Trump last weekend said it could hit 200, and it may, at this point, based on these numbers, it might go higher than that where we're going. And let me read you Blinken's message, his statement again. I want to make sure you get this entirely. I've got the transcript of exactly what he said. When it comes to oil, let me get here in front of you. I'll read it to you. And by the way, if you're looking for us at Larry Connors USA live stream for YouTube, YouTube shut me down over the weekend, sent me a notice that they didn't like something I did, so they shut down our live stream. I don't know if we'll get it back or not, but it's very clear that at this point it's not working. They're not going to let us do it. We are taping the program, some of the videos, so if you later want to watch it, you'll be able to see it when we put it up, if they allow us to put it up. My site is still open. You can go and look at some we've had up there previously. I know many of you end up doing that anyway. You watch at a later point. You don't get to watch it live, so you watch it later. But Blinken had said specifically on oil, well, we're talking about it. We are. We're meeting. We're talking. We're looking for anything and everything. And we're going to make sure if there are loopholes, we close them up. Here's his exact quote. We're adding sanctions every day. We're doing it in coordination. Why don't you do all of it now? This is no longer a preeminent invasion. It's been underway for days, and you're still talking about adding more sanctions? And then he says, when it comes to oil, Russian oil, I was on the phone yesterday with the president and other members of the cabinet on exactly that subject. See how close he is on being involved in the real big deals? See? We're all talking about it. Not doing a damn thing about it, but we're talking about it. And he said, and now we're talking to our European partners and allies to look in a coordinated way at the prospect of the prospect of banning the import of Russian oil while making sure there's still an appropriate supply of oil on world markets. Your job, your duty is to this nation. I would like Europe to be able to rely on us, but your president shut down the Keystone Pipeline and shut down various oil and gas leases and is now still sticking his head in the sand, not going to budge, digging in, no domestic production. The White House, again, rejecting the idea of boosting domestic oil production. And it wouldn't be just to lower prices. It'd be to make fuel and oil available for us and Europeans relying on us. But no, we would rather work with Saudi Arabia and even Venezuela, which will send some of their money right to Russia. And we're still talking about we'll shut it down. There has been one decision that might benefit Ukrainians. It's not going to change the situation about oil. And at some point, this administration is going to have to admit, yeah, we got to go back and do it the way we did. Just like they did about the border, finally admitting, yeah, it's been a crisis. But they didn't like using that word. And, of course, they are still hoping you're focused all on Ukraine and not paying attention to what's happening at the border, and they're still swarming it across. But we are apparently going to give a green light for Poland to send jets to Ukraine. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
What more can the United States do here if, for instance, the Polish government, a NATO member, wants to send fighter jets? Does that get a green light from the U.S., or are you afraid that that will escalate tension?
No, that gets a green light. In fact, we're talking with our Polish friends right now about what we might be able to do to backfill their needs if, in fact, they choose to provide these fighter jets to the Ukrainians. What can we do? How can we help to make sure that they get something to backfill the planes that they're handing over to the Ukrainians?
That is Secretary of State Blinken saying the green light is on by NATO countries if they want to give fighter jets to Ukraine to help replenish whatever they give, I say, to give to Poland for whatever jets Ukraine receives from Poland. Now, Russia has already warned countries offering airfields or planes to Ukraine, saying you're now going to be part of our conflict. So the U.S. is not directly offering anything, but some of the NATO countries, Poland being one of them, saying we want to send fighter jets to Ukraine, and you heard Secretary Blinken say, that's okay with us. So we are in turn sending F-16s to Poland if Poland gives its MiG-29s to Ukraine. Poland's been modernizing its fleet since 2006 when they first started flying F-16s. But how would the MiG-29s do, those older Russian-made planes, how would they do against the current Russian jets? Going to be joined in the next segment by Colonel Jack Jackson, often serving as a host for this program, an extensive military action and fighter pilot action. I want to get his assessment of that. You'll want to hear that as well. Because, really, the Russian airplanes have been having a hard time anyway, to be quite honest. They've had several fighters knocked down, drones, helicopters, but sometimes by a Polish jet, a MiG, or ground forces. But again, the green light's on. If Poland wants to send them fighter jets, we will replenish whatever Poland sends. We have a China expert on here from time to time, as you well know, Gordon Chang, and he says Beijing remains all in for Putin. He said this is a new axis. He said Putin has now staked his political life and maybe his actual life on being successful in Ukraine. Now, those words from Gordon Chang, I'll probably try to book him later this week. But when he says that Putin has staked his, possibly his real life, that harkens back to words that came out the other day from South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham that immediately got pushed back from the White House and Senator Cruz. And I discussed it at length in the previous hour. If you missed it, I do encourage you to go back before YouTube pulls it down. They may decide that's also something I shouldn't have said. Cruz said that Graham's response that only the people who can fix this are Russians. Somebody in Russia needs to take this guy out. In other words, calling for the assassination. Cruz said that's an exceptionally bad idea. The White House is dismissing it. But I'll take you back to the Obama White House in 2011, killing a U.S. citizen in a drone strike in Yemen, and then another U.S. citizen, and everyone, including the DOJ, said the president has the authority to kill American citizens without a trial if he chooses to do so. Anybody remember that 9 years ago? Colonel Jack Jackson, when we continue. Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is well known to this audience and often fills in for me when he has time and ability. Colonel Jack Jackson, U.S. Marines, retired, Boeing test pilot after he left the Marines, and has flown carriers, carrier fighters, fighters over Vietnam, shot down once, twice. Is that right, Jack?
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah, well, you better learn to dodge them better, but you did.
Yeah, now you tell me. Where were you 30 years ago?
Yeah, I know. Listen, Jack, let me get a take from you, because if Poland does send the MiG-29s to fight the Russian Su-57s, what are their chances in the air?
Well, the 59 has a definite advantage with respect to maneuverability, upgraded technology.
Are you saying 59? Are you talking about the MiG-29 or the Su-57?
You said 59. I was thinking.
Did I'm sorry, MiG-29. I think they have 29 of them. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the MiG-29, if they go up against it, it'll be tough. But the difference in a dogfight, in my humble opinion, Larry, is if the machinery is about the same. And what do I mean by that? If they both have air-to-air missiles, radar-guided, they both have guns, they both have heat-seeking missiles, they both have good turning performance and good thrust-to-weight, may not be equal, but your difference is the pilots and their training. And the Ukrainians are on a mission. They have a reason, and they're willing to die for that reason. And I think that's what's going to make the difference. When when I I was learning to be a fighter pilot, they told us, study your enemy, even when he's not in the cockpit, and learn how they think, how they train, how they thought. When are they going to turn and run? When will they think they can execute? And I think the Ukrainians are going to come out on top of that.
Well, let's talk about that in more detail. That I was before you joined us, I was pointing out that they. Well, let me go over numbers first of all. They have 62 MiG-29s, 21 of them single seat, and 6 of them two seaters, and they're all basically World War II old equipment. The Polish Air Force began updating with 2016s back in 2006, and now has a deal for some F-35s, but that's in the future, not 2024.
True.
So a lot of their pilots probably have had experience in the MiG, probably as a training plane at that point. So it seems that they would have some basic knowledge, but having knowledge and being proficient, if you're not in the air all the time, we've discussed before with our own Air Force.
Well, that's true. Very true. If they haven't flown, and they haven't flown this airplane, the Russians are going to take advantage of that in a hurry. And they've got some very sophisticated airplanes. And I'll share with you, I can do that now. In 1995, I went to Russia and flew two of their Russian fighters.
Which
one? The Su-27.
Okay.
Made by Sukhoi. And the Yak-38, made by Yakovlev. And the Yak-38 was their answer to the Harrier. And the Su-27 was their answer to the F-15. Those were magnificent machines. And when I got back, I went and briefed our various armed services guys on what to do and not to do. And if these fighters are coming from Poland and the guys haven't flown them much, it's going to be hard to get up to speed quick. And the other thing that I wonder about is parts. If their old airplanes are going to break, if they give them all to them, I'll bet you there's about 40% that are combat capable. And, you know, some of them may be able to fly, but the weapon systems don't work.
So they've been cannibalizing the others to keep some in the air then?
Yes, that's my take on it. And that makes it tough, Larry. That really makes it tough. But when your homeland's being threatened, you'll do some amazing things.
I was talking to win
that fight.
I was talking about that earlier about some of the arms being given out by the Ukrainian government to the citizens because they basically didn't have any. Just reinforcing our Second Amendment rights, by the way. But they were giving them, in some cases, semi-automatic, in other cases, automatic. And, I mean, you're going to get some friendly fire deaths that way if they don't know what they're doing. And then some were just single-bolt rifles. Good luck with that against a Russian machine gun. Yeah,
that's they're definitely outgunned, if you will, the Ukrainians. The Russians are coming along. But I've been very impressed with how they've done it. But Putin's got everybody buffaloed, and so the Ukrainians are doing a magnificent job of holding off the aggressor who's trying to take their homeland with a bolt-action rifle and an old airplane.
Now let's talk about no-fly zones. Putin has made it clear that if a no-fly zone is put into effect and enforced by any NATO country, U.S. or others, that they would also then be considered an enemy in this engagement, or if they allow bases on their land, such as in Poland. So the no-fly zone apparently is off the table. Is that a good idea to take it off the table at this point?
No. No. At some point, and I don't know what country's going to do it, I'm not sure it's ours, somebody has got to stand up and say, listen, this is a no-fly zone. you cross that boundary and you want to threaten us with nuclear weapons, Larry, I would rather be dead than give up my freedom. And if he wanted to start a nuclear war in his bunker, then at that point you have to say no, or he's just going to keep coming. He's just going to keep coming, and the next thing you know, we got him in New York.
You know what you sound like, Jack. A lot of folks on many that say, "Oh, they're another war hawk." I mean, you got that's why the military machine is there to go out and kill, and not understanding the value of the deterrent effect. Not putting in these sanctions, which have been nothing. They don't stop any bullets, but the very fact that we have enough power and authority. If you cross the line, we will respond, and it will be a heavy price. Trump had made that very clear. Biden has not.
Make that very clear.
Yeah, yes. Biden never made that clear.
No, and neither has the Secretary of Defense or Joint Chiefs. But here's where you cross the line, and we will retaliate in like manner. You choose.
So if. By the fact that we're providing F-16s to help sustain Polish Air Force, that could also be seen by Putin as well. You're engaging in war against me in that way.
Well, it could be. He's a brutal man, and that's nothing new to you and the listeners. He understands that as long as he can bully his way, he will do so. And in the past, we've seen where Crimea and all of those have gone under his control. We did nothing. But you talk about sanctions. Let me elaborate on that just a little bit. Sanctions may work. And someone said in the administration, yeah, give it some time. Wonderful. But the bullets are coming both
right
at you today.
Right.
Don't sanction somebody who's going to be shooting today, 3 months from now.
And on top of that, they're still just talking about we might add more. Well, add them all now. It's already underway. It's not a possibility. It's underway. And you talk about countries that have changed. Switzerland declared the other day it's no longer neutral. It came out and said Putin's wrong.
Yeah, and that's the first time I've ever heard Switzerland. In both world wars, if my history serves me well, Switzerland never committed. Either way.
Jack, I want to thank you as always. Your expertise invaluable, and I know the audience enjoys hearing from you.
Well, thanks for having me, Larry. And when you're president, let's stay the course.
I promise you that. Simplify, sir.
Simplify, Marine.
You bet. Colonel Jack Jackson, U.S. Marine Corps, retired. Coming up, by the way, speaking about planes for a moment, there are some planes that were said that's not going to be good enough, and they were discarded. And then they had a need for them, and they got a second try, and they became extremely valuable in ability to fight an enemy. Let me run down some of those with you and tell you about my fight with YouTube. Stand by, please. I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottler Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottler, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to Rottler.com, Rottler Pest Solutions.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So based off of that discussion I just had with Colonel Jack Jackson, I want to run through something that I picked up from a .com source called We Are the Mighty. Prototype planes that lost a competition to be manufactured rarely get a second act. But it did happen in several cases. One of them almost never saw the light of day because the original version of this plane lost a competition to what was called the Brewster F-2A Buffalo. Well, the Navy decided to give this plane a second chance, and it ended up holding the line against the Imperial Japanese Navy Force of Mitsubishi Zeros. That was the Grumman F-4 Wildcat. Very, very significant to the Navy and the U.S. against the Japanese. Another prototype known as Model 299 initially performed extremely well, faster, more powerful, but it crashed during its second evaluation flight, killing both pilots. So they decided to go ahead and give the competition to Douglas with the B-18. The Army Air Force was so impressed with Model 299 that they found a legal loophole and kept it alive. It went on to become the mainstay of the 8th Air Force in World War II, the B-17 Flying Fortress. Now, in 1946, the Air Force was looking for a long-range escort fighter. Combat in Korea quickly proved the U.S. still needed an effective penetration fighter. They were using, at that time, the F-86 Sabre, so they had to find something else. McDonnell scaled up what they had, and then they had the F-88 Voodoo, entering service in 57, not retiring until 83. One other thing, one plane fell victim to Jimmy Carter's budget acts, but still we need to replace B-52s. After intense debate, the Rockwell B-1 Lancer came into production. Similar story with the Northrop Cobra. So some of those planes had lost out, put aside, and yet they turned out to be extremely valuable for our forces. So I don't know if you've been trying to watch on Larry Connors USA live stream today. I can't. They've shut me down. They basically sent out, and I put it up on Facebook, and that hasn't been taken down yet, explaining to some extent what they were saying. It's very vague to me. It says, Larry Connors USA, our team has reviewed your content, and unfortunately, we think it violates our misinformation policy. We removed the following content from YouTube. And they're referencing a live stream we did last week. I think it went on to say something about you can't say anything that the election of 2020 was rigged. Good God Almighty. Everybody suspects it was. I don't necessarily think it was, quote, rigged, but I do think there was fraud. There's fraud in every election. But I don't buy fully into it was a full conspiracy to rig it. I just think a lot of things came together at that time. And that's why Trump won, Hillary lost. But the other side is the one that's complaining that it's rigged. It was rigged by the Russians, remember? And, of course, now we know that ties all back to Hillary and the Democrat campaign. You're not allowed to even have a discussion about it. Even if I did say, I think it's this, I'm not allowed to have that. See, that's why we've got to get hold of these big tech companies and say, you can't play it both ways. You either are an open forum for everyone to express their opinion, as long as we're not vile and vulgar, allow free speech, which they apparently do not understand, the First Amendment. So we'll continue to push. We will continue the program. With or without YouTube, I'm looking at placing it up on Rumble and other sources. And I thank you for your support because you're helping make us still bigger and bigger despite such efforts to try to minimize our footprint. I thank you sincerely. I would remind you, especially while we're talking about the blessings of this country, including free speech, which is in danger by some big tech companies, remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.